The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is an ESPN 97.5 Road Show, live from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you miss the first hour, mostly sports and then a letter to the editor, which Lamont says two-pump chump is a common expression. I get it's a common expression, but my point is the reason it came off to me as fake is because how serious the rest of the letter was. It was a serious letter to the editor. And then all of a sudden you drop that in there. By the way, I noticed this on the break. This may be, we're at Sam Houston Race Park, by the way. We're down on the first floor. This may be the place with the most people who drag their feet as they walk of any place I've ever been. Is anybody else notice that?
Yeah.
There's a lot of just.
Yeah. I feel like that's the way that you walk after years of not winning.
Is that what I was doing on the way to the restroom? I did hit one little pop today.
That's called the no-dough shuffle.
Okay. All right. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Where do you want to go from here?
I feel like I don't know that there's really any sports worth talking about at this point.
True.
We may be able to get away with a no sports show. I mean, well, I shouldn't say no sports. I guess we already talked about the basketball. But
another one. Kevin Biggio, we didn't talk about. No, the guy that just.
Oh, I missed him.
Yeah.
I got to pay attention.
Yeah. It's the weird things you start people watching for, but when you notice it like five times.
Well, what I noticed is when I was in the restroom here, and I think this is an old person thing. It's also a small child thing, but I guess eventually it becomes an old person thing where people feel the need to pull their pants all the way down.
Oh, God, I hate that. We have one person. We have one person in the office who does that. And
we do now?
Yes.
Now, when I was in Austin, we had
actually,
one.
I take it back. I think it was an intern from last semester.
Okay. When I was in Austin, we had one, and he was a great big fat person. And this was when I worked at Clear Channel in Austin. And he was one of the people that they kissed his ass because, like, back in the day when radio was, like, when you could be, a powerful person in the community by being on the radio, he was one of those types. And now he was, like, an old, washed-up fat guy who was still doing his show. But he had, he had to wear those stockings to hold his legs together because he had those really vile vein things going on. And he would just pull his pants all the way down around his ankles at the urinal. And so he's just standing there with those socks that went all the way halfway up his thighs.
And so you're seeing old man butt.
Imagine there's a giant marshmallow and then you shoot it with an AK-47. And, I mean, it's just like, it's horrific, horrific. And it was like my second or third day at this new job, and I went back into the studio and I was like, you're never going to believe what I just saw in the restroom. And they're like, you saw so-and-so? And I was like, yeah, how'd you know? He does that all the time. And sure enough, over the 4 years that I was there, I mean, he did it all the time. There was probably five, six times that I walked in there, and that was the scene.
See,
and look, no one said anything to him because he's an old man.
No,
and now there was a guy in there who, but if you want to pee that way, that's cool. It's weird, but that's okay. Use a stall. So this guy decided to at least have the courtesy to use a stall, but he didn't close the door. There's a door for that. If you are the person who pulls your pants all the way down to pee, just close the door. No big deal.
Yeah. Well, little kids, I kind of get.
That's fine.
That's fine.
Okay.
Right?
They don't want to get pee all over themselves.
Right.
I get it. But if you're an adult, you should have mastered peeing by now, and you should be able to pee without getting it all over yourself.
Well, theoretically. You don't know how drunk they are.
I mean, it's it's 5 in the afternoon.
Yeah, but some of these guys have been here since 11 in the morning gambling. So.
Yeah, if you're that drunk at 5 in the afternoon, I don't feel bad for you.
Hmm.
I still think one of my favorite Vegas moments was when we were at the what is that place called? The Mandalay.
Mandalay, yeah. Oh, God.
And I went in the bathroom, and this is like 3 in the morning. And we've been playing poker and, you know, we've been gambling all day, all night.
Yeah, nonstop.
And, I mean, I was inebriated. I'd had some alcohol and some other stuff. And
standard Vegas fare.
Yeah. So I go in to use the restroom, and this guy stumbles in. And he gets to the urinal right next to me. No shame. And there's plenty to go around, but he picked the one right next to me. And he just put his hand on the wall, and as soon as his hand hit the wall, he's going. He never undid his pants. So, I mean, he pissed all over himself. Not like a little bit.
No.
He like unleashed all of it while standing at the urinal, all inside his pants. And then he goes to walk outside, and his buddies are out there, and he's looking around, and his buddies are kind of grossed out by him, so they're kind of getting some distance from him, and he reaches out for one of them and falls flat on his face, and it's like it's just this vile smack that you hear, and then he picks his head up, and his nose is just exploded. He's bleeding everywhere. Then the cops, of course, take him away. And I always think about that. That guy woke up the next day in jail covered in piss and blood and no idea what happened. There's no way he could remember that night.
Should have recorded it so we could have sent it to him.
I feel like maybe I got some pictures.
I think you tried to.
I may have tried.
But, you know, neither one of us were 100% either at that point.
But, man, I mean, I just remember thinking to myself, like, even while I was peeing, I was like, this dude is peeing. It's because there's the sound, you know.
Well, especially when it's up against cloth, right?
Yeah, like when you're, it's straight up against denim, and it's not, I mean, it's like a 3 a.m. power pee. It's like, it's like when you put the hose on, and then you put your thumb over half the hose, and it's like on full blast. That's what it was like, except straight up against, you know, his zipper. And
although it's a different sound for, say, slacks than jeans.
This was jeans.
Yeah. Jeans is a deeper sound.
This was jeans. But then there was also eventually the sound of it hitting the floor and puddling around him. And then I don't know why I thought it was gross that he didn't wash his hands.
At that point, did it matter?
Yeah, that's what I kind of started to think. I was like, really? Does it matter that he didn't wash his hands now because he's covered in urine and now blood? A couple germs is probably the least of his concerns. But I finished peeing, and I just stood at the urinal waiting for him to finish because I wanted to see what happened next. So I was following him at that point. And, I mean, the show only lasted about one more minute, but what a glorious show it was. That's one of the best things that's ever happened to me in Vegas.
Vegas has him now.
Yeah. So I guess if you have to choose between pulling your pants all the way down or not pulling them down at all, maybe all the way down is the better play.
Yeah. In that case, I would have said yes. Knowing now what you knowing if you knew now what you knew then.
Yeah.
But
the story only would have been better if it would have been you.
Yeah, that's true.
that's the only way that story, like if I'd known the person, it would have been much better.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't have let the cops take you away, though.
No, probably not.
I would have said I was your legal guardian, and I would have gotten you to your room. I would have put you in one of those wheelchairs and pushed you around like Weekend at Bernie's.
I'm not going to lie. I'm surprised it hasn't happened to one of us out there yet. I mean, I'm probably minus 180, but I could still see it happening to you really
easily. Yeah. Well, now we go out there with Nick. I think I'm third favorite now.
Yeah, I might push Nick past me at this point. It's close.
Nick's the most mellow drunk, though.
Yeah, but he can put it away.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Adrian says, I used to work with a guy that when he would go poop, he would completely take his pants off and hang them on the stall door. I think we've had that discussion before. There was a guy who used to work, I may still work here, who does that.
That's so odd to me.
Was that? I don't want to say his name and it not be him, but maybe there was a network guy.
Maybe you don't want to, like if you were wearing like a suit or something, you don't want to get your
you don't
pants,
want to ruin the bottom of your pants?
Your pants creased up? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm just a believer. That's why I don't poop in public anyway. That's
try to avoid it, but you're at the office a lot more now.
I still don't.
Really?
I haven't pooped once at the office since I've taken this job. I work up there sometimes 12 hours.
The worst is the gym.
I'm a master of my domain.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know how I could explain that in a cooler and more doper fashion.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Sam Houston Race Park, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here from Sam Houston Race Park.
Mike says, what if you were into hour one of your day and you start prairie dog and you hold in that for 11 hours? That doesn't happen because I evacuate before I leave the house.
See, I try, but every now and then, right, like especially if I go to the gym, and right before I'm going to work out, if I've taken any kind of pre-workout stuff, and that bathroom's worse than the one at the office.
The gym is gross. Yeah,
I mean, I hate everything about it, but I can't help it. It's either that or go drive to Bucky's.
Yeah.
You know, that's your only choice. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. I was going to mention, Tyler actually mentioned this on a break, that with the Biggio kid being called up in Toronto, it's the first time that the sons of two Hall of Famers have been on the same team in baseball history.
Yeah, I'm not as surprised by that as Tyler was.
Yeah, I'm not really either because, for one thing, how many Hall of Famers have kids who are good enough to get to the majors?
Not that many.
So,
I mean, and by the way, these two guys are both, I mean, pretty much brand new Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Within the last 5 years. Yeah. So, like, you think about guys who are, I don't think, we were talking about this. Bobby Bonds isn't in the Hall of Fame, is he?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Yeah, he's not in the Hall of Fame. Ken Griffey Sr.'s not in the Hall of Fame. I mean, Robbie Alomar, his dad wasn't in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
That would have been an opportunity if he was, because Robbie and Sandy Alomar Jr. were teammates. So they would have been, I mean, they were brothers, but they were teammates, so they would have both been the son of a Hall of Famer, but he wasn't a Hall of Famer.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty rare thing, honestly.
Well, it's interesting that they have all these prospects who are sons of major leaguers.
Yeah, because Bo Bichette, Dante Bichette's kid, is still hanging around.
And don't they have one more?
They might. I thought it was just three, but
yeah,
they may
have one
more.
Wouldn't
shock me.
Somebody can let me know who that is.
It's weird, though. I was looking at this Biggio kid's stats, and he's been pretty good this year, but he's been like a middling prospect for most of his career. Like,
yeah,
if his last name wasn't Biggio, I this would be a really like no sizzle promotion.
See, I feel like To me, it would be like bringing up, I don't know, trying to think of an Astros equivalent without the name. I wanted to say Derek Fisher, but Derek Fisher was a little higher thought up.
Yeah,
than
I think he was, yeah.
So, hopefully he can play. I think it's kind of cool. I know the Guerrero kid can play.
Yeah, but he struggled too.
Yeah, that's the thing. A lot of these guys,
they're going to struggle out of the gate.
Yeah, I get what they're trying to do. Let's go ahead and get them developed and, you know, suck for a year or two, and hopefully they develop into the players we think they can be.
Boy, so, I mean, have you seen the latest numbers on your buddy Forrest Whitley, the untouchable Forrest Whitley?
I have.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's getting to the point
where he's only had, like, what, four starts?
I'm not sure how many it's been now. Meanwhile, at AAA Round Rock, Forrest Whitley's ERA inflated to 12.21 tonight. He allowed 7 earned runs, 6 hits, and walked 3 in 2 innings of work.
It's too damn hot.
I'm not an expert, but that's not good.
Let's see.
And by the way,
he started 5 games.
Okay.
He's pitched in 8. He started in 5. He's got 24.1 innings.
How many earned runs?
So here's his stat line. He's got 24 and a third, 35 hits, 33 runs, 33 earned runs, 9 home runs. He's walked 15. He has struck out 29 and 24 and a third.
Okay.
Which, I mean, that's, I mean, yes, the other numbers are bad, but that's a good sign.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a positive here, man.
Oh,
that's me. I'm always trying to find the positive in everything.
Well,
2.05 whip.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's not good.
But, you know,
but this is why I say all the time, if your prospects are untouchable, you're making a mistake. Because this time a year ago, you could have offered, you know, name the best player in baseball to the Astros, and Astros fans would have been like, we're not giving up Forrest Whitley. We're not giving up Forrest Whitley. And I think maybe the Astros would have said the same thing. We're not giving up Forrest Whitley. And now it's like, God, don't you wish that
somebody... That was the one saying trade him for Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah, don't you wish you could have gotten something out of that?
Well, it's...
And if he goes on to be good somewhere else, so what? Big deal. You got the guy. You got a better player.
Yeah, I just... In this case, I'm not really willing to punt yet. I mean, it's a small sample size in his first year at AAA, but it I guarantee.
But you know what? Look at Jordan Alvarez. Look at his small sample size in his first year at AAA, and people are acting like he's Barry Bonds all of a sudden.
Well, I'm
so if we're gonna overreact, let's overreact on both sides,
well,
right?
Well, I get what you're saying, but I'm with him. I've kind of said the same thing. Let's not start bleeping each other's bleeps just yet. I mean,
Corbin Martin came up his first start. Corbin Martin looks like freaking Roger Clemens all of a sudden, and then now he's got 2 more starts and he looks like Corbin Martin. He looks like a guy who might be a back of the rotation pitcher, which
there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that,
but let's not play he's gonna be our third playoff start. No, he's not.
No. I mean, he's a rookie. It's what he is,
and that's the thing.
And he's a rookie who's not like, he's not Kerry Wood or Steven Strasburg. He's just a rookie.
Or Forrest Whitley.
Or he's not untouchable Forrest Whitley.
I'm
going to call him that going forward, the untouchable.
But the reality is, and we talk about this all the time, over the course of a season, how often things are going to change for major leaguers. With young players, it's even more pronounced.
No doubt.
And look how awful Bregman's career started. And he looked like he didn't belong. He looked like – he completely looked like Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
His swing was – way off. He just did not look like he was going to be a major league player, and then he figured it out. And guess what? He hasn't looked back, and I don't anticipate him looking back. I anticipate him continuing to be a really good player. And that happens for a lot of guys. Sometimes it takes longer than others, and maybe that's going to be the case here. But and then some guys come right up and kill it. So we'll see. I heard Charlie Pelillo say this one time many years ago that 10 baseball games is the equivalent of 1 football game. So people tend to panic and overreact on game after game. It's ironic because I listen to him sometimes dive into one game
Yeah.
like it's really important. But, you know, take it in 10-game stretches. and that would be a 16-game football season. And think of it this way, one game in that 10 would be 6 minutes of an NFL game.
Yeah.
So think about all the things that can go wrong for 6 minutes of an NFL game. And then that's why you can't overreact. That's why you can't.
For example, the last 6 minutes of the Patriots-Falcons Super Bowl.
Yeah.
A lot can go wrong.
Yeah, well, or right, depending on which side you're on. So in this case, especially with a guy like Whitley, who's had five starts, that's not even 6 minutes of an NFL game.
Okay. Well,
I still don't think he's – listen, I felt like he was overhyped from the beginning, but I don't know enough about these guys. Yeah, he can throw – he throws hard. He's big. The Astros are very high on him.
Let me give a positive, because the guy that we saw for the White Sox last night, Lucas Giolito, who was on my fantasy bench last night, much to my chagrin, because I respect the Astros lineup. There was a time where he was the number one pitching prospect in baseball for the Nationals, and he ended up kind of being so-so in AAA, and then he got called up to the bigs and just wasn't very good, got sent back down to AAA. Eventually, the Nationals traded him to the White Sox for pennies on the dollar, and now he looks like, boy, maybe we've got something here with this. He's like 6-1, and you saw him last night. He shut him down.
Yeah,
like they weren't beating that guy last night.
Four singles last night.
Yeah,
basically,
nobody hit anything hard against him last night. So it's not it's not like if Forrest Whitley sucks for this year and next year, or that he's suddenly never going to be good. And when you're a prospect of that level, you'll get more chances than the average guy. But, boy, those are some really ugly numbers.
It's very for 24 innings is not enough really to judge, but it is enough to be a little bit concerned,
for
especially
sure.
When you look at those other numbers. And maybe they need to work on his spin rate.
I mean,
get something going down there.
Whatever they put on the balls up there in Houston, they need to start putting them on him in Round Rock.
Yeah, the really scary part is the 33 runs in 24 innings. And
that's rough.
Yeah.
And,
and 15 walks with 35 hits. My goodness. A whip over two. You just don't see that.
That's very difficult to do.
Yeah. But, again, small sample size. Hopefully he'll turn it around. But I would say one thing I'd say about that is we've talked all along about, they're going to need another starting pitcher. But maybe it turns out to be Forrest Whitley.
Maybe so.
But for this season, I'd be a little concerned about that. Because first he's going to have to figure out AAA, figure out whatever it is that he's doing wrong there. And then, now I've got to figure it out at the next level.
When's the date pass where there's no draft picks that you have to give up to go after guys like Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell and those guys?
I think it's June 3rd, whatever the draft date is.
Okay. Well, so I'm curious to see the rush to those guys after this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't quite get the whole
compensatory draft picks are that important. I don't get it either, but whatever.
That's become such a thing now.
Especially in a draft where there's like 100 rounds.
Yeah.
It's not like you're going to not get any players.
All right, guys. BestHotelRates.com. The name says it all. If you want to travel, most of us do a little travel. We're going to be doing a little bit myself. How are you booking your rooms? Go to BestHotelRates.com. BestHotelRates.com has negotiated special rates with over 600,000 hotels worldwide. They've extended these discounts to you. All you have to do is go to besthotelrates.com, plug in your destination, dates of travel. You're looking at a discounted rate for many of the hotels that you could pay more for somewhere else. Save your money. Book your hotels through besthotelrates.com. Top-notch customer service backs up your reservation so your stay is safe and secure. Besthotelrates.com. Start planning your next trip today. The name says it all. Besthotelrates.com.
To date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.
Superstition,
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Sam Houston Race Park, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live at Sam Houston Race Park. Two more nights of live racing, but there is simulcasting going on right now. You can go get your Santa Anita on, all kinds of tracks. All right, I found an article from Thrillist where they ranked all the supposedly great HBO series over the years. Kind of.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks. I'm glad you're participating,
pal. I'm ready.
That was not on AJ, just for the record. A lot of these I haven't seen, but I want to get your opinion on them. Number 30 is True Blood.
I'm not crazy about it, but my wife liked it. It's okay.
I tried to watch it. Never did anything for me, so I can't say. Number 29, Vice Principals.
I never watched it.
This was one of the most disappointing shows on the station because I think Danny McBride is hilarious, even though he lied to us about saying he'd always come on the show no matter how famous he got. And Walton Goggins, you put those two together, I think it's got to be hilarious, right?
You would think.
Not funny at all. Very disappointing. So I quit watching. It might have gotten funny later, but Flight of the Conchords comes in at number 28.
Yeah, overhyped in my opinion.
Yeah, a little overhyped. Number 27, it feels low, but considering how bad last year was, Westworld.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
Yeah. Tenacious D at 26.
I never watched that.
I never watched that either. The Deuce at 25.
Never watched it.
I watched a couple episodes. It's pretty good, but it's not for me. So, 24, Looking. Never heard of that. It's one of those. Okay, that was. It was billed as the gay man's answer to Girls or Sex in the City.
Yeah, I can't believe I missed that one.
23, Bored to Death.
Nope.
I actually liked that one. Ted Danson was in it. Zach Galifianakis. They were all so neurotic. It was a little annoying, but it was a fun show. 22, Girls, not for me.
I know. Can't rank it. A lot of nudity, but like a lot of nudity from girls I don't want to see naked. I'll be honest.
Yeah, I never watched it. High Maintenance, 21.
Never seen it.
Is it?
It's funny.
Tyler, you can talk. It's okay. Use your words.
High Maintenance is good. It's like a stoner Seinfeld. Everything's kind of connected, if that makes sense.
Okay. No, that doesn't, but okay.
Well, if you're high, then it will.
Ooh,
well,
all right.
Well, yeah, I don't do drugs.
Often.
Drug user?
Or every minute.
Sorry, you're a junkie.
Number 20 is Barry, which I don't know how.
What? I thought Barry's the best show in the whole wide world. How's it number 20?
Well, the thing is, it's still ongoing, I guess, because it could go downhill in a hurry. But I love that show. I think it's great. Way higher than 20 on my book. 19 was Extras. Not familiar with it.
Nope.
18, Boardwalk Empire. Never did get into that show.
I don't love it either.
I tried. 17 was Big Little Lies. That's too high for me.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty. Succession is 16. I haven't watched that yet.
Nope. I haven't watched a lot of these.
True Detective at 15, I know you've seen.
Yeah, I'd have to hear what's ahead of it. That, I mean, that's such a roller coaster because, I mean, season one to me was as good of television as, I mean, that's one of the five best seasons of television I've ever seen.
Yeah, I would have it much higher on the list. It's top 10, and I've seen the rest of the list. So here we go. Insecure is 14.
Mm-mm.
Never seen it. Silicon Valley, 13.
Okay.
Never watched it, but Raheel swears by it. And I think that's for a different type of audience, and I hear it's really good. So, number 12, Enlightened.
I've never watched that.
And I think I watched one episode. I'm surprised.
Is that good, huh?
I'm surprised this one was as low as it was. 6 Feet Under at number 11. That was a really popular series.
Yeah, that was popular. I mean, but so was Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah. Number 10, Eastbound and Down.
That's funny.
It is funny.
But it was also basically the same thing, the same kind of jokes over and over again. I don't know.
Well, I think when they brought it back for that extra season, that was a huge mistake.
Yeah.
It's like it had finished perfectly, and then they're like, oh, we got to have to do another season, and that sucked. And that kind of colors it for me. Game of Thrones, they have at 9, which, okay.
Boy, that's, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, that would have been top 3.
Yeah, that to me, that's your classic overreaction. Number eight, The Leftovers, which I like, but not better than Game of Thrones.
I liked The Leftovers more than you did. I don't know if I liked it more than Game of Thrones. It was a cooler ending than Game of Thrones, I think.
Yeah, but it was.
I thought it was a really interesting show. I loved the first season,
and I thought it got worse as it went. And not that it sucked, but it's just I enjoyed it less and less with each episode, which is never a good thing. Curb Your Enthusiasm at 7.
That's a great show.
I hear great things about it. I've never
You've never watched it?
No.
Oh, man, that's a good show.
Yeah. Sex and the City is number 6.
It's for the ladies.
Here's one that I loved, the Larry Sanders Show.
I love
5.
The Larry Sanders
that
Show.
That was a great show.
That is funny.
You know what? What was that show with, like, Brian Benben was in it? Dream On. It didn't make this list. It should have made it over some of these. Okay, Deadwood at number 4.
Okay.
And this one I know is popular, but it's ahead of a lot of other shows that I like better, Veep.
Okay.
I mean, I get it, yeah. And then you're just down to what order do you want out of the top two? Because we all know the top two.
I always say Sopranos and then The Wire.
And that's how they
But a lot of people disagree.
They have Sopranos 2, Wire 1.
Okay.
So
I think The Wire is the greatest television show that's ever been made.
It's definitely on my list. Yo, Adrian just asked me that. Is Dream On that list? That was I liked that show. It was early 90s. I wonder whatever happened to that dude, Brian Benben.
I don't know.
So
there used to be a show. What was that show called? Oh, maybe that was on Showtime. I used to think it was a show that had this super hot chick on it who used to always get naked. This was like in the 90s on Showtime. It was the name of a town in California. And her dad was a plastic surgeon, and it was just like a really messed up family.
Huh?
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Are you talking about Californication?
No,
That's Showtime.
No, this was like
you just said Showtime.
I'm not sure if it was HBO or Showtime. Okay. I don't know.
Somebody, good question. How did our list not make that list?
That's a good question.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, very good question. All right, we're gonna take a break. We come back. We'll have a gym of the day. Then we're gonna have RJ and maybe some. Maybe some friends. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz.
Oh, that sounds great.
On ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, live here at Sam Houston Race Park. A lot of people are mentioning Entourage didn't make that list.
Oh, that is surprising.
Yeah.
That's a better show than people give it credit for.
You know what? I look back on this list, though, I see a lot of political correctness, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, I used to think it was like kind of corny for me to watch Entourage. Like I was a little bit embarrassed about watching it. But then I started to realize, no, it's just a good show. Well, I don't know. You know what else wasn't on there? It was Ballers.
Yeah. I think this list kind of sucks, to be honest with you.
I think so, too.
And they did it right after the Game of Thrones ending.
Yeah.
So, you know what? I'm going to work on my own HBO list.
Shout out Joel, who Joel Hidalgo said Sherman Oaks was the show I was thinking of.
Ah.
And the hot chick used to always sit in their hot tub and just be topless in the hot tub. And it was like the greatest thing ever. I don't know if that was HBO or Showtime, but
Lamont says he's surprised that I've never seen Curb Your Enthusiasm. Said he didn't watch it because of the title, but got into it about 4 years ago and loved it. I never really was interested because I was never a big Seinfeld guy.
It's better than Seinfeld, I think.
Is it? Okay.
And I like Seinfeld fine, but Curb Your Enthusiasm's funnier.
I mean, I don't hate Seinfeld. It's just and there were some episodes that I thought were really funny, but there was a lot of them that I'm just like, this is just not my sense of humor.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll give it a shot. We'll see. That's about 5 people now have told me that I would like it. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
to Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Paddock Jeweler Gym of the Day.
So a gentleman was on a flight. We've seen some weird things on flights, right? We've had people up and, you know, people who were too large to get in the seat and you had to get up and leave. You know what I've never seen someone do on an airplane?
Jump out of it. Because I've seen that.
I've seen somebody try. What I haven't seen is somebody just light up a cigarette in the middle of an airplane.
When you were a kid, people couldn't smoke on planes?
I didn't fly until, by the time I was flying, they didn't allow it anymore.
Okay.
I don't think I was ever on a plane where they smoked.
Okay.
Maybe they did when I was like 18.
Because I still remember when I first started flying. I mean, the first time I probably flew was I was like 8 or 9. But it was like the seat or the armrests had the little ashtrays on the end of it.
Well, I know there were still planes that had those long after they got rid of it.
Okay.
Because they couldn't, I mean,
I just assumed that like in the 70s people smoked on airplanes.
I don't think I actually flew until I was 18. That would have been 83.
Okay.
So I'm not sure when that was banned. 1988. It was banned on all domestic flights with a duration of 2 hours or less. And then by 2000, everybody was smoke-free. So, I probably flew on one where you could do it, but I just don't remember.
Yeah.
Well, this guy just, it's illegal, by the way.
Yeah.
It's not just that you can't do it, it's illegal. This guy just pops a cigarette in his mouth and starts going to town. And so a man from across the aisle rats him out, which.
Snitch.
Frankly, I think the smell would rat him out. You're on a flying tube, for God's sakes. Somebody farts in there in the third row. You smell it in 27th. I'm pretty sure people would have noticed this, right? Well, so the flight attendant comes over, taps him on the shoulder, and tells him you cannot smoke on planes.
Yeah, maybe you missed that whole speech and the sign above your head. Yeah, and
thanks for listening to me at the beginning, because that always pisses them off when you ignore them. Because that's their one moment, right, is to go through the spiel. Well, says you cannot smoke on the plane. It's against the law. You know that, right? Can I have your boarding pass? So she has to take his boarding pass. And he kind of gets a little confused, says, oh, my God, holds his head in his hands. And apparently the woman who filmed him said throughout the flight I could hear him making loud outbursts. Roughly 40 minutes before we landed, he laid across the two seats with his butt towards me. He continued his loud outbursts and began aggressively flipping the tray open and closed. Then he sat up.
Dude.
Then I saw him take the cigarettes and lighter out of his pocket. I pulled out my phone and started to record. As he lit the cigarette, the man across from us became nervous and flagged the attendant down. The attendant put the cigarette out on the tray and took his boarding pass. He didn't have any other issues, and when we landed, the airport police took him off the flight first.
Womp, womp.
So I don't know what the federal crime for smoking on an airplane is, but I have not heard of this happening.
I'm not surprised, or I'm actually surprised that it doesn't happen more often, like on the first flight out of Vegas on Sunday morning or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Some guy who's super hungover just gets on the plane and forgets where he's at, and it's just, you know, it's just habit, you know?
Yeah. Well, I love how they say don't disable the smoke detectors, but smoke detectors aren't really going to pick up cigarette smoke unless they're, you know,
when
you set something on fire with it.
Pro tip, when I worked offshore, you were allowed to smoke cigarettes, not in your room. There was like a smoking lounge on the oil rig, but they didn't like you to smoke pot in that room for whatever reason. So if I wanted to smoke in my room, and once you, like, they only drug test you like when you get to the rig.
Right.
That was the way it was. So you show up and, oh, hey, you've been gone at home for 2 weeks. We need you to take a drug test and make sure, you know, you're clean. So once you were on the rig, it was safe to smoke. But what I did was I rolled up a towel and I dipped one end of the rolled towel in some water. And every time I would take a hit, I would blow it into the
wet towel,
into the towel, and no smoke.
Interesting.
Yeah. Very wise.
So you should
wise man.
You should try that on an airplane. See if you can get away with it.
I mean, maybe. I don't know how it would work. Then you had to. Luckily, my roommate was banging the chick that worked in the laundry, so there was never any questions about why my towels smelled like weed. He helped me out by not snitching on me for smoking pot, and I helped him out by not snitching on him for banging the laundry lady. So it was.
But that's how things are supposed to work.
Yeah,
that's quid pro quo.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what a relationship's built on.
We're all supposed to be on the same team. All right, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
You know what I'm going to do at some point this weekend? It's I'm going to swing by Big City Wings.
Ah, good call.
You know, maybe watch some sports on all those screens. Maybe check out the crawfish. Check out that limited time only menu. Where we've got the Mile High Fries, the Crawfish Mac and Cheese. If you haven't had a chance to try this, go try it. You'll thank me. Fruity Pebble Waffles, Honey Bun Burger, all of that is on their new limited time only menu. And guess what? They've got...
I like the Sour Cream and Onion Wings.
Those are awesome.
They are good.
That's also on the limited time menu.
Also keto friendly.
They're
on that dry rub. Yep.
Yeah, well, and listen, this is not going to last much longer, so go and check them out. I forgot to mention Sour Cream and Onion Wings. Thank you for that. By the way, they have specials every day, including, guess what, today, half-price appetizers and margarita madness. How about that? Go get your margarita on. And listen, all this stuff is made from scratch, fresh made-to-order menu items, and not just the wings, not just the specials, but the Angus beef burgers are fantastic, all the appetizers. They know what they're doing, and they do great wings, and they do great food, and it's a fantastic family-friendly atmosphere. Go by and check them out. 8 locations, including the new one up on Rayford Road. Find the location nearest you at BigCityWings.com. Make sure you're following them on social media at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. It's all Big City Wings. BigCityWings.com.